23rd, 357th day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon, St. Bernard's. Are you waving?
Big tall guy walked in.
Oh, okay. Somebody you recognize.
Yeah. Hey, looks like a basketball player.
And like. Dave Sharp is alongside. Happy Christmas season.
Merry Christmas to you.
Yes, we are, 2 days away and mm-hmm. school is closed.
Mm-hmm.
So it truly is a merry period of the year for you.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, yeah. Unless you get a phone call about the school, right?
I can turn my phone off.
Yeah. This afternoon we'll spend a little bit of time talking about what is the Christmas period like at a Catholic school. It's a little bit different than what you might imagine. And also we'll talk a little bit about the upcoming year, some of the anticipated changes, updates, upgrades, all that kind of stuff. And if you've got one that might be inclined, some of the admission information that at least most schools are looking for. So got a couple different things on our mind, and we'll talk about them when we come back.
At my bank, I feel at home. I'm Trish Greggy of the Journey's End, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, hometown banking isn't just something they say, it's how they do business. I'm Kevin McClendon of Georgia's Glass, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, we invest in the future of our community every single day. I'm Greg Foster, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
Redwood Capital Bank, our interest is you. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 313. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Dave Sharp. But before we do our quote this afternoon, it's an anonymous quote, but it's still a dandy quote, so we're going to go with it. If nothing ever changed, there'd be no butterflies.
Somebody should take credit for that quote.
Yeah. Well, you know, you can take a shot at it if you want.
Put my name on it?
Yeah.
Okay. Write my name in the book.
I was thinking more in the classroom. Maybe that becomes your signature underneath, you know, in your signature block, that kind of stuff.
Draw a little butterfly, sure.
Well, I wouldn't go that far.
Okay.
What is the biggest wow that people would have, Dave, about how St. Bernard's celebrates the Christmas season, either at the elementary school level mm-hmm. or at the high school level?
We had a big wow on display last week. Our kindergarten through eighth grade, and actually a couple high school students, put on our annual Christmas concert and art program. So we had the auditorium beautifully decorated with some artwork that our students created. And then on stage, we had our students singing Christmas carols. It was beautiful. Each class sang about three songs and just good old Christmas songs that were sung by, you know, little angels, it seemed like. It was definitely a wow factor, and you know, our music teacher, Kathy Leith, does a wonderful job putting it all together and just making it a show, not just a sing-along, but really a show and a performance.
It's amazing how angelic they look when they're up on stage instead of having to talk to them later on.
They're always little angels. But there's just incredibly talented kids that we see them in the classroom from 8 to 3, and, you know, they're doing work, they're reading books. But then to see them on stage performing, singing, it's incredible. You really don't get to enjoy that all the time. So when you see it, it just makes it really special.
When Christmas is discussed, either at the faculty level or faculty staff level, what you're going to do for the school, or in general terms, how much more freedom do you have mm-hmm. than other schools have to really be able to, not climb into it, but certainly to explore what Christmas is? I mean, I know you got Father Greg, you know, he's voicing mm-hmm. the commercials for you. Mm-hmm. And having clerics that mm-hmm. really can kind of get into the religious elements of it in addition to some of the other aspects.
Yeah, December is a really special time for us. We had Mass this month for all of our students, led by Father Greg. Our Christmas program was, the theme was Christ is Born, Light, Love, and Peace. So we can really celebrate Christmas for what it is, the birth of Jesus Christ. And not just carry that through the Christmas season, but to carry that throughout the year. And that's something that Father Eric yesterday talked about in his homily. God is with us, you know, not just during Christmas, but throughout the year. So his point was, make Christmas last beyond just a day or a week or a 2 week vacation. Make it last till next Christmas, and you'll be much happier for that.
It was interesting yesterday in one of the programs on KINS in the morning, the townhall.com. Instead of running the kind of week in review thing, they had Michael Medved, who has a lot of historical tapes, talk about the history of Christmas and St. Nicholas and some of those other elements that I think a lot of times we either we know but we don't bring up on an annual basis or we just don't know. Who was Nicholas? In explaining about the bags of, well, in theory, the dowry for the three daughters, so they didn't have to get sold into prostitution by their dad. I mean, those types of things all add to what we recognize Christmas as, secularly as well as religiously. But putting all that stuff together, is there a history of Christmas that's talked about?
St. Nicholas does come up. We put the shoes out filled with candy. The elementary students love it because they think that, oh, I put my shoes out and candy magically appears in them. So, you know, Santa Claus comes and sees the elementary students. Yeah, there really is that opportunity to talk about it. You know, some classroom teachers hit on it more than others, but yeah, like I said, December is just a great time for us.
So what does the school do formally in addition to the pageant that you were alluding to? Or is there anything else? Will you do anything? Will each of the classes do something? Is there anything along those lines?
We had Mass at the beginning of the month to really kick off the Advent season. And, you know, really leave it up to the classroom teachers. But in the past, we've had a faculty staff Christmas prayer service at the end of the week where, you know, it's Friday. We're about ready to go off on our separate ways, but we gather one last time for prayer and reflection.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 3:19. We'll be back with more from Dave Sharp.
Now a minute of sunshine for Humboldt. The North Coast Repertory Theater is now celebrating its 30th season with six treats for Humboldt audiences. First is the George S. Kaufman Moss Hart Pulitzer Prize-winning comedy, You Can't Take It With You. Then the musical, You're a Good Man, Charlie Brown, based on the Peanuts comic strip. After the holidays, there'll be a double feature straight from ancient Greece, the murderous tragedy Oedipus the King and the comedy Women in Congress. Next is the side-splitting Complete Works of William Shakespeare, a parody in which all 17 of the Bard's plays are played in 97 minutes. Late spring features the North Coast premiere of the popular Les Miserables. The season ends with The Poor of New York, a melodrama from 1857 of the problems of a middle-class family not all that different from today's. For dates, times, and details, call 442-6278. Sunshine for Humboldt is a nonprofit civic organization dedicated to the people and events that make this a good place to live.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:24. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Dave Sharp from St. Bernard's. Dave, one of the things I think that I'm aware of that's a little different is when everybody comes together on the Friday before Christmas break, and it's not a party for all the high school kids, but it's kind of like, I guess you could call it an indoor picnic almost. why don't you share that a little bit?
We had our entire school, K through 12, it was a sing-along. I mean, that we gathered as a school to sing Christmas songs. And, you know, it might seem minor, you know, kind of big deal, but everybody was in the same room together. The spirit, the joy was just terrific. And that kind of brings everything together and puts things into perspective of, you know, just the types of students that we're attracting and serving. And faculty is singing alongside, you know, high school students
just
and elementary
badly.
Students.
Yeah, good. Okay.
We have some talented people.
Well, I know, but there's some of us at the other end.
Well, sure.
You got to have a reference. You know, if you've got talent, there's got to be somebody who doesn't have talent, so everybody recognizes how much talent you truly have.
There you go. Yeah.
So that's the part. That's the role I play when it comes to group sing-alongs. Okay. I'm that guy.
But you can't really hide, so you got to move your lips and.
Well, then I'm told don't sing, just move your lips. Oh, geez. So, the pancake stuff and the breakfast stuff and that kind of thing, I think, is a little unique. Also, was that kind of the kickoff for the entire event?
That was that was the student government idea where they wanted just let's have pancakes and eggs for everybody, you know, on Friday before we all break for Christmas vacation, and. Each student was responsible for bringing something. Everybody brought what they were supposed to for the most part. Students were cooking pancakes and eggs, and it was just a really nice time to, you know, enjoy the students, enjoy the season, and enjoy that they want to be together and do these sort of things and really appreciate one another.
Is that group event something that goes on regularly?
It should. I think that we can incorporate that throughout the year. You know, we're very flexible. I mean, if there's something that the students want to do, it adds to morale, community, then yeah, we can make some time. We can cut out 45 minutes out of the school day to do something that's connecting students, that's connecting teachers and students together. And that's something that's easy to do. We should be doing more often.
So as you go to break, is the Christmas break, will the teachers talk about 12 days of Christmas and some of those types of things? Or like, as you mentioned, Father Fried had a message that, you know, Christmas isn't a day. Mm-hmm. It's not a season. It is. Mm-hmm. Those types of things, are those brought into the equation also before the Christmas break occurs?
They are, and they vary by classroom. More so, you're getting that message in the elementary where you have, you know, one teacher teaching all your students. That could be a good economics lesson. You know, it's out there every year. What is the value of those 12 days and all the items? We can incorporate that into our different subjects.
Or today, what is the value of losing a week during the Christmas season for shopping, huh? I heard something, I think it was last Friday, that at that point on Friday, only 11% of all folks who would be purchasing gifts for the holidays had completed it.
Wow, 1 in 10.
Yeah, and that they're, well, today we've been hearing, you know, everybody's doing their super special, panicky. What, somebody was even doing their post Christmas price point breaks. I think it started today. Yeah, I mean, it's just a lot of stuff going on around it on the commercial side, yeah. Let alone on the religious side as well. Mm-hmm. Is there an attempt to sew Christmas into all the various disciplines? Well, we've talked about history. You mentioned economics. Is that something that is done at this time, or is that just happenstance? It was those two areas.
Not a direct across the board, but we have brainstormed ideas to, you know, bring, well, Catholicism, Christianity into math or into different. History is easy, of course, but how do you bring something like that, even Christmas, into a subject like math or economics or this or that or the other thing? So we've come up with some ideas on how to do that, and you know, some teachers will take off on it, some will, you know, get students ready for finals, which are coming up after we get back from Christmas vacation.
KINS News and Information Time, it's 3:30. We'll be back with more from Dave Sharp.
Decade of Difference, making a real difference for the future of the North Coast. This is Jim Ritter with Humboldt Live in the Arcata High School Career and College Center. Do you have life and work experiences that could be a benefit to our local youth? We're recruiting community members to mentor and share ideas with our middle and high school students. Please call me at 839-5114 for more information. The Decade of Difference, making a real difference for the future of the North Coast.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 3:35. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Dave Sharp from St. Bernard's. Dave, you mentioned that you wanted to spend a little bit of time talking about early admission, early registration. Mm-hmm. Now, I can imagine that that happens on a whole different bunch of playing fields. You got the little ones, you got the middle school, you got the high school, you got college. Mm-hmm. So when you're saying admission, what flavor are we going to start with?
Well, we can certainly start with the young ones. You're right. It's multi-layered. And for us, we want to first focus, you know, preschool, making sure that our preschoolers have access to our kindergarten classroom now so that they can see, okay, what are the teachers like? What are they teaching? And really give the students a feel and a comfort for the kindergarten classroom so that they can, make that transition from our preschool to our elementary school. And then you've got, an influx of students that want to transfer in. You've got, fill some of those holes that, students that either transfer out and certainly those that graduate and go on to college or university. And then this is coming into the time where, college admissions decisions are being made. Students are learning, some of the schools that they've been accepted to and, making those sort of preparations because it goes by fast. The spring semester, especially if you're a senior, flies by very quickly, and all of a sudden you find yourself at graduation, you're saying your goodbyes, and you're off to a whole new world.
What's the biggest surprise you think for first-time parents who have kids going on to college or hoped to be going on to college? Is it the speed? Is it the decision-making? Is it the testing? Is it the campus visits? What is it that if they've got a junior, or I guess there's still time for some seniors to get their stuff together, what's the pitfall that they need to be most concerned about?
Mm-hmm. Just waiting too long. There's things that need to be happening throughout your high school time that you should be focusing on to make sure that those are done by the time it's you're ready to apply. That's your community service. That's those things, those kind of extras that you need to put on your application, and also to make sure you've taken your test, your SAT and TOEFL test for our international students. Make sure that that's done so that you can not have to have the added pressure of taking that very difficult and stressful test and having to meet an application deadline.
Now, I know a lot of the kids have already applied for. I would imagine that some of them are starting to get their acceptances if they haven't had the early enrollment like Humboldt has and some of the other schools. What happens to the kid if he's applied to 3 or 4 and has declined at 3 or 4? Mm-hmm. Are they in trouble at this point? Is there an opportunity to still go out and make application another 4 years? Better to fall back and do a JC for a year and then apply? What kind of options are available to those folks?
Probably the number one thing would be to look at junior college route. That's something that can be, decided last minute that's the way I want to go. And really, you look at our students over the last couple of years, there's been an increasing number that have gone the junior college route. Economics play into it, location, that dream school that you want to get into. And it's not a bad option to have, to save some money, get those first 2 years out of the way, under your belt, and then go on to that school that you want to get into. And, you're going to save a little bit of money and, you're going to have that chance to maybe stay closer to home, work, and save a little bit and go off onto that big school that you want to.
Do private schools have enrollment capacities like the publics do?
Yeah. Yeah. They certainly have, numbers that they want to fit in with their incoming classes. So, you know, we do run up against that too from time to time, that, you know, you might not get into that choice private school that you wanted to.
But everybody should be hearing back in the next couple of weeks. What if you don't hear back, when do you start scratching your head and going, huh? Mm-hmm. I mean, is that January, February? At what point should you start getting a little itchy if you haven't heard?
Well, the UCs typically take the longest to get back to you on their admissions decision. So you're hearing, you know, some yeses and some noes all the way up until, you know, early spring. So if it's early spring and you haven't found a home yet, you know, that should be a time to worry. But if you do your homework and you apply to a, you know, a broad spectrum of schools from, you know, different levels, but all of interest to you, you know, your chances are that if you've done your homework, you know what they're looking for, you fit that criteria, you should be able to get into a couple. But if you don't, the junior college route is there. There's certainly good junior colleges in and around the state. So not a bad option.
If you've got a junior, is this the time to start ramping up, taking the tests, things of that nature?
Yeah, certainly the SAT should be taken in the spring.
Mm-hmm. Can you do dummy applications?
Well, certainly.
So that you've got, I mean, is that something that their counselors should have, or do most of the four-year schools have that available on a website, or do you talk to their admissions counselor? I mean, where do you mm-hmm. go to kind of mm-hmm. start that process?
Yeah, certainly. I don't know how many schools still have paper application, but definitely you can go online and start, you know, filling in the boxes, maybe create an account, connect with that admissions director and see, you know, they're going to have resources too for you, perhaps on their website, to say, okay, here's where you need to be as a junior. And that's a good checklist. You know what the school wants from you, and, you know, make sure that you're meeting all those criteria.
And I would imagine take a little bit of time. You don't have to slam it through right now.
Yeah, we do tend to like to procrastinate, but if we can, this is a big decision. So if you can take your time and do it right, yeah.
Things fall into place sure. A little bit easier, yeah. KINS, News and Information Times, 3:42. We'll be back with more from Dave Sharp.
Sacred Heart Church invites you to join us every Sunday for our liturgical celebrations. Saturday, 4 p.m. Confessions, 5 p.m. Sunday's Vigil Mass, 7 p.m. Spanish Mass, and on Sundays, 9:30 Morning Mass and 12:30 Spanish Mass. Come and celebrate with us.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:45. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Dave Sharp. Dave, we've talked a little bit about folks, families looking to go on post-high school. What about for those that are looking, either going transitioning from a junior high or middle school mm-hmm. to high school mm-hmm. or elementary school or just starting school? Mm-hmm. What would you say in, I don't know, a line or two? Why should anybody send their kid to a private elementary mm-hmm. school?
You know, St. Bernard's is a place where community is really important, and it's built on gospel values and our belief in God. That is the basis for that community that we build, the care and the instruction that comes with it. And that is unique. That is not something that's readily available, and it's certainly something that I believe is necessary for, you know, success, not just academically, but really spiritually and morally in today's world.
So what should the parent expect? I mean, if the kid, I would imagine the kid gets a feeling, or it looks like there's some cool toys and go and play, and then, you know, that's where they want to go. But what are the expectations of the parents, of the family, if they have a son or daughter going mm-hmm. to an elementary school?
I think they should expect, you know, something more. They should expect good communication with the teacher, with the principal. They should expect, you know, regular discussions about faith, spirituality, and the history of, you know, the Catholic Church. And that's something that's not just going to be in the home. It's going to be in the school, too. So if that's something that you're used to, if both the home and the school can support that together, I mean, you've got yourself a pretty good education that's going to be the basis for, a successful life. And we're not just talking academically, career wise, but really the core basis for what values you hope to develop in your child.
So what if you're not Catholic?
We have certainly a lot of families that are not Catholic, either Christian or perhaps even seeking a faith like ours. So certainly doesn't rule you out. And certainly there's a lot of variety at a school like ours, even a Catholic school like ours. And that's something that we embrace. I mean, that's part of who we are. We want to make sure that we respect faith's beliefs, but that we teach ours.
Why would somebody want to come in at the high school level?
Mm-hmm.
If they've a normal kid going to the junior highs or the middle schools, what would bring him to a smaller high school rather than wanting to go to a larger high school?
I think opportunity, and that could be on a couple different levels, athletically, academically. Being at a smaller school like St. Bernard's, the opportunity to play on the field, the opportunity to succeed in the classroom, I believe are greater because of that community that wants to build up and support those students that are looking for something better, looking for something bigger, and that prize being that big college that you want to go to. So you're going to get that attention on the field and in the classroom that you might not get at a bigger school.
What about the family commitment? I know that most families with kids going to high school, okay, we attend the kids' games, the extracurricular, blah, and that's about it. Same holds true?
Well, we want to have our parents involved and have them volunteering in the classroom, on the field. There's many ways that they can come and support, not just their child, but the school in general. And I think that adds to that sense of community and belonging that is pretty unique.
Like they could have been flipping pancakes last Friday?
We would have loved that. That would have been great. Yeah.
Or singing off key in the crowd.
That works too.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Just making sure that there's still a spot for me somewhere down the road.
Always welcome.
Yeah. Yeah. Just stay over there in your corner, please. If somebody's looking for information, you guys are back open on the 6th?
Yeah. On Monday the 6th. We'll be checking voicemails periodically during the break. But definitely check out the website. Shoot an email to any one of us, and we'd love to hear from you.
Thanks for coming by.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
We've been Talking Shop this afternoon with Dave Sharp. Join us tomorrow afternoon for more Talk Shop. Until then, go out and make it a good day. Hug someone you love. See you tomorrow.